With spring 2021 now a little over a month old, it is time to celebrate it with not only the sound of peepers, I will explain that in a few minutes, but with the broadcast from February 19th, 1994. I know that date may not bring on thoughts of spring, but it's a special episode, and I was just so darn thrilled to find it in the vault. Due to some thawing weather we were experiencing that weekend 27 years ago, it started the discussion of Norm's hens and when they would start laying eggs again. You see, hens lay eggs when it's warm. Heated hen houses make them lay eggs all the time. A regular backyard coop that gets cold in the winter makes them stop until the weather begins to warm up again. Norm and I were discussing this earlier that day, and I had a very silly idea to make it a contest where people would send in postcards with their guess of the date one of his hens would lay an egg. Thus, the first Egg of Spring contest was hatched. You see what I did there? And wait until you hear what the prize was to whomever guessed correctly. Top drawer silliness at its best. With all this spring talk, it also segues to talk of the peepers. For the uninitiated, a peeper is a small frog about an inch to an inch and a half long who awaken from their winter slumber as the weather warms, usually late March through April. They make a chirp-like sound that some may confuse with crickets. Norm had a bog at the end of his driveway by the main road. He would risk life and limb to bring a portable tape recorder down there, cars whizzing by and all, to record them. We would then play them on the show every year. It was a very popular feature. So much so that at one point, someone offered us peeper keychains to give away on the show. I may have one somewhere around here. It was a small circle with a peeper sticker on it, and when you pressed it, it made the sound. We gave so many of them away as prizes. In honor of that, I will play you a recording from 1992 that Norm made down at the bog. It was an old cart that I had to do some digital enhancing to try to get the best audio out of it. Here are Peepers 1992. To continue that tradition, I have an area nearby that is teeming with peepers every spring. I have recorded them for the last few years and posted it online. I will now do that here, every year, and hope it rekindles and keeps Norm's spirit alive. Sit back and enjoy Peepers 2021. It really is a hopeful sound. You will hear Norm, being the world's foremost peeper translator, deftly explain what they are saying. The callers have so much fun talking about the first egg of spring and the peepers. A super entertaining call from Mark and Newton kicks off a string of callers. Al from Framingham, chicken physiologist. Tim from Dedham, who wants to make a bet and has some great questions. Emma from Manchester, New Hampshire, who was raised on the farm with her 19 brothers and sisters. Yes, you heard me correctly. Including Emma, her parents had 20 children. All of this craziness breaks way to an excellent dumb birthday game. Roberta, who immediately cops out. Mark from Cambridge. Our friend Lisa in Topsfield with a sports casting tip. I'm in studio. Emilio Morata producing and playing and wearing a funny hat. And Jack Hart. Birthdays? Eddie Arcaro, Smokey Robinson, Justine Bateman, whose age guesses are briefly interrupted by auto-reverse as the tape continues to side B, Prince Andrew, and Jeff Daniels. We guess a date, of when Edison was granted a patent for the speaking machine, otherwise known as the Edison phonograph. And then we dig into the week for just a couple of more birthdays, Tyne Daly and Irma Bombeck. Post-game, we continue with more callers. Barbara, who briefs us on a variety of topics. Eleanor and Quincy, she mentions that she misses Norm on Sunday nights because of those stupid infomercials. However, please do not worry about Norm, because while those programs are on, Norm is out with beautiful women, drinking heavily, and having a swell time. And we close it all with Matt in his car heading to Killington, Vermont for some skiing. This really is a special episode. 90 minutes of fun. Grab your favorite beverage, hot or cold. Make yourself comfortable, because here we go.
Weather conditions that make it likely for the hens to lay the eggs. Usually it's longer days, and the days are getting pretty nicely long now.
This is going to be the longest explanation.
It's not even worth it. When will I get to the punchline? You'll say, why did he talk so long about nothing? He talked long about nothing. But that's my whole career is based upon talking long about nothing. Anyway, where was I?
You were past the heated hen house.
Yeah, I was saying that there's certain conditions.
And some of those heated hen houses are beautiful, aren't they?
Oh, they really do. I've had more affairs and some sexual foreplay in hen houses than any place. Anyway, in fact, I'm going to be on Sally Jesse Raphael's program talking about it one night soon.
Yeah. Norm's secret rooster fetish.
I think that would be more, that sounds more like...
Geraldo,
yeah, yeah. You notice the way he talks very slowly? Because he can't talk fast. I think his brain moves very slowly.
It's like it's supposed to make off he cares.
Oh, yeah. He cares a lot.
Yeah.
And after they say something like...
Hens, Norm? Really?
Hens, you had... Oh. And he shakes his head a little bit, you know.
Of course.
Oh, isn't that awful? That poor soul. Sally Jesse does that, too, a lot. She's okay. Anyway, where were we? We weren't talking about
again,
that.
We were past the heated hen house.
So the conditions have to be... A lot of more daylight and warmer temperatures, and then the first eggs start to come. Now, here's the context. Would you send me a postcard, or even a letter, I don't care, telling me the date you think the hens will lay the first egg? That's the first sign of spring from them. That's a very early sign of spring. Once I see that egg right there sitting there in the little hatching box, I'm just so darn excited because I know this is spring. And soon after that comes the peepers.
Summer. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's about 4 or 5 weeks after. I checked the hen house this past day. There were no eggs then. So from here on, could happen almost any time within the next week. Could be the 1st of March, anytime. Just send me a card with your name and address, okay, and the date you think I will find the first egg. Is this the most stupid contest?
This is
contest?
Great. I love this.
Did you ever?
We have a See, Norm and I talked about this earlier today.
Yeah, that's right. We did.
We had a good laugh over. We thought this was spectacular.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, who else has contests like this? Or who else goes out in the bogs on a crazy night and records peepers?
With cars driving ever so close to you, too.
Very, very close to me, yes.
There's Nathan with that damn recorder again.
Yeah, it must be spring. He's recording those damn little squeaky peepers.
What is it, spring? It's when Nathan's on the side of the road with the recorder.
But I do not play the peepers from last year.
No.
They have to be, I have to hear them this year.
I have them from last year. I also have them from the year before. Yeah, well, so we can compare sounds.
Yeah, sometimes during the wintertime we do that, just make you feel better. But the peepers we'll play when they come out will be in, they'll be the current
1994.
Ones. That's right. They're 1994 peepers. All new, all improved. But anyway, tell me when you think the first egg will be laid, which is another sign of spring. And that could be any time between now and the end of March.
And you will win.
You'll win a boiled egg.
That egg, hard boiled.
Well, yeah, we could send the egg the way it is, just take it out and... But it might break.
Yeah, we could wrap it in bubble wrap. But we'll send you the first hard-boiled egg of spring.
And we'll autograph it, you and I.
Sure.
We'll sign the egg.
Sure.
Just like it's in great for Easter.
Yeah.
Then you can take it and color it and everything. It'll be really nice.
Why not?
Okay. So send it to... How do we explain this to the management or the promotion people here in D.C.?
Send it to First Egg of Spring.
Just send it to me, Norm Nathan. Yeah, put eggs somewhere. Eggs somewhere on the envelope or in the postcard on the address side, okay, so we'll know. Because otherwise we get tremendous amounts of mail, you know, all the time. And write to Norm Nathan, WBZ, Boston, 02134. Okay. Norm Nathan, WBZ Radio. Put radio. Because this, if this gets to the television side, they won't know what to make of it. Because they never listen to us at all.
They'll probably run it on TV and claim response. And they'll say, hey, this is our idea. Yeah.
Okay.
But if now, we have to mention, though, if we get cards with similar dates on it, we're going to go by the postmark. And if the postmarks are the same, we'll just take the first card that we had picked with the correct date. And the second place person will get the second hard-boiled egg of sperm.
That's right. I'll just wait for the next egg to come, and we'll send you that one.
Yeah. Well, so there should be only two. We're not going to send out, like, 1,500 eggs also on spring.
I don't get 1,500 eggs in a decade. I don't have that many hens anymore. Okay. So the address again is?
Norm Nathan, egg. 1170 Soldiers Field Road, Boston, 02134.
Don't forget WBZ Radio.
Radio. Yeah.
If you forget the street number, it's just WBZ Radio, Boston, 02134. Be good. Okay.
Put Egg of Spring on that. I'd like to see the General Services get that in the mailrooms. What is this?
I knew the guy did weird stuff at night, but one of these nights I'm going to have to listen, see what it is he does. Not this. I won't. If I don't listen this week, maybe not next week, maybe not the week after, but someday. That sounds like Casablanca, doesn't it? The final week. One day, you'll be sorry that you didn't go with your husband.
Wait a minute. What?
I'm sorry. I seem to be digressing a bit. Okay. Just send the card. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun, yeah. And the prize you win is we're going to hard-boil the egg so we can send it through the mail.
An autographed hard-boiled egg.
An autographed hard-boiled egg will go to the winner.
You know, if we even get any postcards on it, I'll be amazed.
Do you think any of the radio columnists will pick this up? They print really stupid stuff about what Charles Lacordaire and Howard Stern, all those other clowns do.
What about the inside track?
They don't know. What do they know? What do they know, inside track? None of them will pick it up. And what do we care? We're having fun.
Anyway. I hope someone picks it. I hope someone's listening.
They don't stamp this. They're watching infomercials. They say, let's watch an infomercial. It's more fun than Nathan.
I'm going to go turn the TV on.
Now I'm starting to get excited. Anyway, let's go to... This is Mark in Newton who wants to talk. You want to talk about the peepers?
Yes, Norm.
How you doing, Mark?
Good. I want to come to defense of the peepers.
No, I was not attacking peepers.
I think you're invading their privacy when you go out lurking in the swamps to record them.
You know that word...
Because you know what, Norm? I mean...
Wait a minute.
You say it's...
Hold on a minute. No, just hold on a minute. Then I'll be quiet. But the word lurking... Is that really a fair word, lurking? I'm out there, quiet as can be, listening to them with great sympathy and warmth and love. I'm not... Lurking sounds so awful.
Well, gee, you know, you claim that the peepers are the first indication of spring, but I notice you never mention why the peepers make that noise. How would you like if someone was lurking underneath your bedroom window?
No, I've explained that what they're doing is these are the male peepers, the little... inch-long frogs who are mate. They want a mate, and they're screaming out for their mates. They're saying, hey, baby, you with the opera hose and the spiked heels, honey. You with the mascara, sweetheart. What do you say? Your bog or mine? No, I have explained that. That's what they're doing.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Should I not have done that?
No. Actually, in all seriousness, Norm, I used to live out near some woods. And I used to hear them at night, and I thought, boy, those crickets are loud. And then from listening to your show, I learned what they actually were. And now when you play it every year, it kind of brings back nostalgic memories. So you know what I do find sad is as the summer progresses, I feel sorry for those, as they each find their true loves, I feel sorry for those few that you still hear off in the distance.
It's still around, because they start around the end of March, and you still hear a few sort toward the end of April. You think, what a bunch of losers.
You hear a real cacophony of noise at the beginning, and then by the end, you know, it just sounds like a complete buzzing, and then by the end, a few months later, you just hear a beep, beep.
Yeah, they're still alive. I'm sorry, I haven't found the ideal frog for me. Just, I'm good, I'm a good provider, and I'm neat, I'm clean. What about me? What about me?
He's carrying the violin case. He's got the ankle socks.
That's right. He's got glasses. He's wearing glasses.
He's got a pocket protection. Can't get a date.
Right, and nobody pays attention. That's right. That's true. It is kind of funny because...
He's got the ad out about taking walks on the beaches and liking concerts.
That's right. I like little trucks with gun racks on the back, and my name is Maurice, and I like women whose names begin with M, and I like to go to restaurants who begin with M. I don't know what I'm saying. You did it very funny, and I'm trying to improve on you, and there's no way I can do that. Okay, what do you think about this egg thing? You going to send a card in so you can let me know what date you think our hens will lay the first egg?
Well, you know, Norm, I would, except for one thing. I'm kind of a city boy. I don't think I've been within 10 feet of a chicken except at the frozen food section of the supermarket.
I have no idea. But you can guess. It's any time between now and the next month. I think even before the peepers come out, the first egg will be laid, if you'll pardon the expression. I love to talk racy like that.
See, I'm getting excited now. Just,
I know it.
Maybe I'll flood the ballot box here.
No, just
the postcards. And,
no, just take a guess, because I can't tell you exactly. Obviously, I don't know. I don't think even the hens know.
And if they don't know, how are we supposed to know?
That's right. No, so it's just a guess.
How about March 5th?
No, just put that down on a postcard and mail it to me.
I just said it out of the air. Now everybody.
March 5th is a good guess. That could very well be the date.
Oh, shucks. Now everybody's going to put that down.
No, they know that you don't know what you're talking about. They won't put that down.
Oh, so I said, oh, okay, good.
You have no pride at all, do you? Okay.
I want to win. I have no pride.
No, and do you understand what you win now? Would you repeat that for people listening, what the prize will be if you come the closest to what it is?
You mean an incredibly useless, tacky gift?
No, actually, it'll be the egg itself.
Oh, the egg.
Yeah, we're going to
I missed that.
No, the egg itself that is laid, we will send that out, and we'll hard-boil it so that it doesn't break in the shipping.
Oh,
and
great.
Tony Nesbitt and I will both autograph the egg. Won't that be fun?
Oh, great. So I can put it in one of, like, those containers that hold autographed baseballs. I can put it in one of those.
Put it under glass, exactly.
Yeah,
in the display case, in the curio cabinet. Sure.
Boy, with your autographs, that'd be great.
Huh. Yeah, that'd be worth a lot of money as the years go by, and probably a lot of smelly smells, too, I think. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how a hard-boiled egg holds up through the years. Does it smell badly after it rots?
Well, if you peel it, okay, you could probably eat it and save the shell. Maybe fill it with styrofoam.
That's an idea. Stuff it.
Yeah, but why would you peel the shell? It's got our autographs on it.
Well, that's why I said you have to peel it, you know,
carefully.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
move it back together.
So what do you think? Is there a program on the air at this moment that has contests like this?
I'm not sure.
I don't think even during the day.
I'm not sure we're on the air anymore, to tell you the truth.
Is this the station that brings you news hour after hour, and when we're not bringing the news, we're talking about it? Does this fit into that category at all?
Oh, yeah. Do you think?
No wonder the station doesn't promote this program at all. I think they're deadly ashamed of it.
I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
It's one of the best parts of the weekend.
You know something, Mark? God, I hope March 5th is. Did you say March 5th? I hope that's the date. I'm going to talk to the hens when I get home in the morning. And if they don't lay March 5th, boy, they're in bad trouble.
Oh, okay.
Layer pellets will be withheld their layer pellets for at least 3 days.
So you'll put in a good word for me.
I will.
Same, great. Yeah.
I say, fetch a little bit, for God's sakes, for Mark. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Norm.
Bye-bye, Mark.
Bye now.
I don't know. This program, probably. Do you think we could get on National Public Radio with this program?
Definitely.
This is an educational program.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of nice.
Sure.
Okay, 254-1030, area code 617. Let's go to Al in Framingham. Hi, Al.
Hi, Norm. You're talking about chickens and laying eggs and whatnot?
Was that what we're talking about? Son of a gun, I think you're right.
Yeah. Can you tell when the chicken lays an egg or the chickens don't lay the eggs?
No, is this a riddle or is this a...
No.
This is an actual fact, an agricultural fact? And the question is, can you tell when a chicken is laying an egg or when the chicken is not laying an egg?
Uh-huh. Is it by the strained look on their face?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. How do you tell?
Well, we used to have to tune the lights way down so they get on a roosters, catch one by one.
I'm sorry. It's a little hard to understand you, Al. Say that again.
We used to have to keep the lights down real low.
Yeah.
And they up. I think they're going to be, it's nighttime. And you cover up the windows and whatnot, and they get up there. And you have two or three people in a line. And you put one finger in there, you know where. And if it, one finger, no, they're not laying eggs. Got two fingers that
you lay in. You sound like a doctor who's checking people for prostate problems.
What are you talking about, Al?
I don't understand. Am I supposed to stick my finger up the hen's, you know what? Are you some kind of a pervert, Al?
No, I'm not a pervert.
Why don't you call Howard Stern? Why do you bother me with this kind of
stuff? No. This is a fact. I'm not kidding you.
Have you done that yourself very often?
Well, years ago, many years ago, we used to do that.
That explains it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Al. Okay.
Let's bring Al on, Sally, Jesse, Raphael.
That's right. You're ready for Geraldo Rivera there, Al.
So, hey, Mom, you have a Gibica chicken?
What's that, please?
You have a Gibica chicken?
Yes, at one time we had a whole lot of hens, not just hens, but hens and roosters at that time, and we did because some of them were violent. They peck away at the other chickens and really do a job on them. And mostly peck away at the eggs after they'd laid them.
They peck
at the eggs and then break them, and that's when you do that. But there are other ways to get around
that. That's what they call a broody hen.
They call that a what?
A broody hen.
Broody.
A brooding hen?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they do that. Yeah, they lay an egg and then they peck away at it and break it. But what you can do is you feed them, you know, the little, you feed them grit. And when they lay an egg, the shell then becomes much tougher. And it's a little harder to break through. And I found that was a good answer, without debeaking the hens.
What happens when you debeak? And how do they eat?
You don't cut off the mouth or anything. You
snip the point off.
You snip the point off the beak, so that it's not that sharp anymore. They can't stick that into an egg.
Take the upper part of the beak. They have it's a hot blade. Tap it enough that takes that upper little part, so it don't come to a point.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I got to get going, Al, because you know what?
Boy,
I just realized we got news coming.
Oh, you can croak like a frog.
What's that, please?
You can croak like a frog.
You can croak back a sock.
I said you can croak like a frog.
Oh, I see.
Why don't you go to school and learn the English, not Japanese?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, the English is not my first language. Oh, he hung up on me. Can you imagine that? I'm the only talk host in the entire world people hang up on.
So one finger, no eggs. Two fingers, they're laying eggs.
That's right. Red sky in the morning. A sailor's warning. That's part of
there
that.
There you go. And that blinking blue snow is due on the top of the Hancock, too. That goes in there.
That's right. And when you're up early in the dawn, you wish you weren't born.
Yeah,
That's an old thing.
And the rain falls mainly in the...
WBZ Boston. I'll see you later.
Good evening, Norman.
Good evening, Ted.
It's a pleasure to speak with you again.
Listen, I
want to tell you.
Yes.
I'm going to make you a bet.
Okay.
A dozen eggs that my peepers come out before your peepers.
Oh, I'm sure they do, because you're south of Boston.
Yeah.
Southwest, I guess.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah, and we're north.
Oh, okay. I live up in the woods, and the road up here is a single lane, old country road, and it goes through a marshy area. And come springtime, I have to drive half a mile an hour at nighttime and keep a lookout for anything that resembles two little bulging eyes in the middle of the road so I don't run them over.
Are these peepers that cross the road there?
Oh, they get out. If it rains, they just cover the road.
No kidding.
On the way up to the house. And I, unfortunately, must massacre several hundred of them every year.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Because normally you can't even see these things at night.
Oh, they're little itty-bitty things, and you can see them, and then they just little hops along.
Oh.
But,
And you're breaking up probably a great romance.
I know it.
Are they all dressed? Because, of course, they're mating then, and they're going after the female. So therefore, they're probably all dressed in their new suits with their new little fresh little ties on, yeah, and everything, looking so happy. And along comes this ugly big car and everything, and it kills a lot of them.
I know it. Just squashes them and their little cloacal apertures all over the road.
I know, but you try hard not to, and there's probably no way you can avoid them.
It's true. I do. I do try my best not to.
Is there some way we could build a tunnel underneath the road or someplace to get them across safely?
I don't think so. We could put up a sign saying Peepers Crossing. but I don't think that would stop many of the people on the road.
Okay. In meantime, well, just let me know when you first hear them.
Okay, and I'm going to make a recording of it.
Okay.
Just for you.
Oh, will you send that to me?
I sure will.
We'll see if there's a difference between Dedham peepers and Middleton peepers.
Right.
Our peepers probably have probably more of a New England accent.
Well, yeah, ours are a little more Brahmin out here.
Yeah, probably more cosmopolitan,
yeah.
I would think, yeah.
Hey, listen, I was going to ask you, have you got the little red contact lenses to put into your hens, eyes?
Now, what would that be for?
Well, didn't you read about that?
I did read that, and I can't remember what for.
A couple of years ago, the commercial growers found that if they put they started to make little contact lenses for chickens, and they're tinted red, and they found it makes them lay eggs more.
No, I didn't. You mean just the fact that they're looking at the world through rose-colored glasses or something?
I don't know why. That's it.
Yeah. No,
what kind of hens you got?
Rhode Island Reds, and we don't have too many of them now. I've had various kinds through the years, but I think just the Rhode Island Reds at the moment. What kind do you have?
I don't have any chickens. I just got a pussycat and peepers and deer and raccoons and squirrels.
Oh, you have a lot of the wild animals who just come visiting.
Yeah. They do.
Except for the kittens or
that's
the cats.
Right. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, because I have cats, too. I've got three of them and a couple of dogs and a horse. And plus the wildlife. The raccoons are kind of tough, though. You worry about them with being rabid?
Yeah, of course. I do. They're cute. They're really cute. But, you know, they get into the trash cans. I have to tie them down with bungee cords. and even then, they sometimes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were tying the raccoons down with you.
Oh, you're talking about top of the garbage can.
Oh, I'm sorry. I laughed inadvertently.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But I don't know. Hey, do you get any double yokers out of your hens?
Yes, every now and then. Not too often.
Yeah?
But right now, we're down to just a handful of hens. Normally, we have maybe a couple of dozen, which is still not a whole lot, you know, for, you know, commercial hen people. A couple of dozen is hardly a starting place.
Yeah.
But that's about all. I mean, because we eat all the, we don't kill the chickens. We just use them for eggs and stuff.
Now, do the older hens still lay eggs?
They do for a while, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Not as much. Even, I think the hens we have are pretty much fairly old now. As a matter of fact, they don't lay as many eggs. They're, you know, but they do lay them, yeah.
Do you name them all?
No, I used to at first. And, of course, once you name an animal, you're certainly not going to kill the animal.
Oh, of course.
But we don't name, I don't name them anymore. But they do have distinct personalities, and I get to love to look at them and see them playing with each other in a sense and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of silly. You start acting like a total idiot after a while with these animals.
Oh, okay.
And so, incidentally, you have cats? You said two cats?
No, I just have my one sweetheart.
Okay, because there's one thing I meant to mention. This morning at 10 o'clock, we'll be at the Marriott Hotel, which is at Copley Place in Copley Square.
Yeah.
The Fancy Feast. Is that the name of a cat food?
Yeah,
Fancy
Feast?
Yeah,
it's a gourmet dinner for cats.
Oh, is it? Okay, they're having a cat show at the Marriott Hotel with more than 250 pedigreed cats, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. I just thought you might like to know.
Well, my sweetheart is a good old, matter of her name is Catherine Winthrop, and I won't tell you her last name here, but she's a double paw. Come over with the Winthrop fleet in 1630, that her kind did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so she's got good genes.
She sure does.
Oh, that's really nice. And you call her Catherine?
Yeah, Katie is her.
Katie. Oh, that's sweet. Okay. Hey, you're okay, Tim.
All right, Norm. I'll let you know about those peepers as soon as they show up.
I would appreciate that, and I'll let you know about mine when they show up.
Okay, Norm.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I guess, actually, they're there all winter. They just burrow deep into the soggy soil. And then, around the end of March, they get this lustful urge for peepers of the opposite sex. And then that's when they come out and they start making those noises. And the noises, that's a mating call. It's, hi, baby, what do you say, sweetheart? What do you say? We're taking a little bit of jazz, well, a little bit of maybe some cheap wine, some, you know, and well, then we'll get together. It'll be kind of nice. Anyway, it's 18 before 3 o'clock here at WBZ. I remember when I first recorded the peepers, I worked at another radio station back in the 70s, and I was doing a daily feature, kind of a fun look at the news, and that's when I thought one feature might be kind of fun with the peepers, and it's grown every year, and people sort of look forward to that. I suppose some people don't look forward to that and look upon it with great distaste, I guess. How are we doing a media with the dumb birthday game? We have any people yet? Okay. If you want to play the dumb birthday game, call Emilio, because we'll be doing that after the 3 o'clock news. Just call Emilio at 254-1030, same phone number. If you want to talk to me on the air before then, I'd like that because it's kind of quiet right now. 254-1030. But if you want to play the dumb birthday game and have a chance to win some really tasteless prizes, do call me. Don't forget, though, to send me a postcard. Postcard would be best. To Norm Nathan, Spring Eggs, or just Egg, WBZ Radio. That's so stupid. I can't believe I'm saying this. Yes, I can. That's the pitiful part. Anyway, Norm Nathan, Egg, WBZ Radio, Boston 02134, and put your guess as to when you think the first egg will be laid, because that's another sign of spring. When hens who are not in lighted, heated chicken coops lay that first egg, that's the first sign of spring. That could happen any time between now and the next 4 or 5 weeks, okay? Just put a guess, and the first person who guesses the correct answer will hard-boil the first egg comes out. Tony Nesbitt and I will autograph it and send it to you. I can tell you're really thrilled with that whole thing.
This is Helen Santilli.
Hi.
Are you in Manchester, New Hampshire, or Manchester
yes.
by the sea?
No, I live in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Well, nice to talk with you.
I was born and brought up on the farm originally.
Yeah?
And I don't know if you know where Newport, New Hampshire is? Up towards Claremont, Sunapee?
Yes, I know where the area is. That's pretty country up there. Yes,
yeah,
I love
well,
that.
Well, that's where I was born and brought up on a farm up there.
Well, you're a farm lady.
I sure was.
Son of a gun, that's you bought up at a farm. You're a farm girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, as I say, when we were up there, the peepers would come out when it's around sugar time.
Okay, here I think they come out sugar time is around, the middle of March? First week in March?
Depends on how the weather warms up and how the snow goes.
Yeah, usually about the first or second week in March, I think, mostly.
I think it's the last middle of March to the first of April, like.
Okay, because that's when the peepers come out, the end of March. Yeah.
Because we used to make around 250 gallons of maple syrup.
Wow. Well, you must have worked awfully hard growing up.
We sure did.
I bet you, I'm sure you did.
Well, I can remember when we were 12 to 14 kids at home.
You mean this? Oh, you had that many sisters and brothers?
Yeah. Oh, I had 10 brothers and 9 sisters.
10 brothers and 9 sisters?
Yeah.
And you was it the same set of parents?
Yeah.
You had a mother and a father, and they had 19 children?
You didn't count me in.
20 children?
Yeah.
The same couple had 20 children?
Yeah. I'm only
had some long nights up there, didn't they? Wow.
Well, listen, don't put it that way.
No, I think that's incredible. Do you all...
that doesn't sound respectful.
No, you sound very respectful. Emma, what about now? Are you guys in touch with each other? Do you still see each other now?
With 5 boys and 3 girls living.
Oh, just, okay, 5 boys. And you all get together every now and then?
Yeah, 4th of July.
Just on the 4th of July.
Yeah, well, I got a brother in San Diego.
I see.
Another brother lives in Michigan.
Oh.
Another brother lives in North Carolina.
So you're spread out all over the place.
So we're spread out different places.
And now you live in Manchester, New Hampshire. You moved,
yeah,
you moved south.
Here. I've been down here in Manchester 50 years.
Oh, 50 years. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm a crabby old lady.
How old are you, Emma?
I'll be 75 in July.
Well, you're not that old. Come on, you make it sound like you're about 106.
I'm 75 in July.
Well, I wish you a happy birthday, Dave.
And the oldest one that's living is 94.
Really?
And the youngest one is 70.
Well, it sounds like a fun. Did you enjoy growing up with that many sisters and brothers?
Yes, I did. I wouldn't trade with nobody.
You're okay, Emma. I have to go because we have news coming up. But it's delightful to talk with you. Will you call me again soon?
Huh?
Will you call me again?
I'll think about it.
Okay, Emma. I got to get going, but thanks a lot. Thank you.
Birthday game. You don't need skill. You don't have to be a brain. You just call Norm to play the dumb birthday game. Play the dumb, dumb birthday game.
Okay, well, that's the game we're going to play, and let's introduce you to members of the panel, including Roberta.
Yes.
Hello, Roberta. You all set to play and all excited about it, are you?
I'm all set, but I don't really know how old people are, but I'll try.
Oh, I see. So that's
a cop-out already.
Yeah. So this is in case,
to crop out because
in case you make a fool of yourself, we'll say, well, she said she admitted she didn't know.
I'll probably make a fool of myself. I usually do.
Oh, Roberta, please. This is just a fun game. Don't take it seriously.
I know. I've listened to it before.
Okay. Mark is going to play the game, too. Mark is with us from Cambridge. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Norm. How are you?
Good, thank you. Are you, the adrenaline flowing with you? You're all excited about this?
Definitely. I'm raring and rude to go.
Okay. Lisa, our little friend Lisa from Topsfield. I say little. You may be 9 feet tall.
Hey, Norm. How you be?
Hi, be fine. How you be?
Oh, not too shabby.
Not too shabby. That's the way you guys up in Topsfield talk. Hey, I know that.
There you go. Hey, a little advice for you, Norm.
Yeah?
When you give the score of the Bruins-Blues game,
yeah?
If you want to sound like a sportscaster,
yeah?
Say the Blues snapped the Bruins' 5-game winning streak.
Oh, snapped it?
Yeah, snapped it.
Okay, instead
of... That way you'll sound like a sportscaster.
Yeah, instead of just ended it.
Yeah, I mean, that's too boring.
It. Yeah, that's right. Ended it is boring. Snapped it. Do you have what do you think the Herald headline will be? Because they used to have a little clever thing with the Blues and the beating the Bruins. If you were a headline writer, what would you write?
Something like the Bees Turn Blue.
The Bees Turn Blue.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go back to your snapped. Okay. Okay, we also have Tony Nesbitt who's playing the game with us. Hello, Tony. You can detect some of the fierce competition you're going to be having.
Whatever you say is fine with me, Norm. You're the boss.
I see. You're kind of excited about playing the game, I know, too. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to get me a card and tell me when you think the hand... No, you're not eligible to.
No.
When our hands
This contest was my idea. Why?
That's right, your idea. When the hens will lay the first egg, which is a sign of spring.
I'll take credit for the contest. You have to, of course, take credit for the hens.
Okay. And Emilio Morata, producer also. Nice to have you with us again.
Thank you.
Still wearing a silly little hat, are you?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. See, he admits it. He admits it, and with no shame. Okay. Jack Hart is with us also. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
It must have been something I said. Everybody's just kind of freezing on me. And this kind of thing. Usually have more to say than that, Jack. What is your name? Jack.
Hey, there's something like hello, how are you? What's new there, Norm? How's everything been? Everything going well? Is everything fine? Yeah, really, everything's fine over here. You know, it's just such a nice night out. I couldn't believe it. The snow's melting all over everything.
I see. Okay. Maybe you better go back to just one-word answers. That might be good.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. Here are some of the people born on this day. February 19th, of course, is the date now. Isn't that wonderful? We're getting to the second half of February. The weather's getting warmer. I think we've gotten through the bad part of it.
Getting closer to my birthday. Oops. That slipped out. Sorry.
That's right. Incidentally, come closer. I don't want everybody to hear this. But Tony Nesbitt's birthday is February 22nd. which is just 3 days from now. And if you care to send him a card here at the WBZ Radio, Boston 02134.
Make sure you put egg on it.
He doesn't say right egg on it.
No, sorry, exactly.
Yeah, that will be a separate one, yeah, because the egg is when you're going to guess when the first egg will be laid by one of my chickens. And Tony and I will autograph that egg. In fact, we might get Emilio to autograph it.
Sure.
That'd be good.
And we'll send it over to Jack, too. Or Jack can send us a transfer autograph, and we can iron it on the egg or something like
that. That'd be good, too. Yeah, it'll be a hard-boiled egg so it doesn't break in the mail.
There you go.
Sure. Be so nice, yeah. You could put that in your tear-stained scrapbook of memories right next to a picture of Annette Funicello with her Mickey Mouse ears.
Well, if he gets a whole bunch of eggs in the mail, he can start a yolk book.
Well, brother.
Why don't we get on with the game?
Okay.
Eddie Arcaro, the racehorse jockey, rode 5 Kentucky Derby winners, also 6 Preakness and Belmont Stakes champs. I mean, one
six of each?
Six, yeah, he won in 6 Preaknesses.
And 6 Belmonts.
And let's see.
So I want to make sure that's what you...
6 Preakness and Belmont, maybe 6 of both Preakness and Belmont. I'm not sure.
Combined.
Yeah, I think so. But five winners in the Kentucky Derby. Okay, that's...
Most last one, most recent win?
His most recent one was...
Like last week at Suffolk Downs, I mean.
Was 1843. Okay, Eddie Arcaro. I don't have the date on that, actually, no. How old do you think he is, Roberta? Have you ever... You've heard of...
Oh, yeah, he must be at least 65.
At least 65. So we'll mark 65 down for you? Okay. Mark, what do you think?
I would say he's about, 66, yeah.
66. Yeah. Okay, what do you think, Lisa?
I'm going to say 64.
64, okay. Tony?
Have you ever heard of him, Lisa?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. I know you're a sports fan and maybe you knew
That's
something.
That's why I didn't want to go first.
She never heard of him either.
I know who he is.
Going first is kind of tricky, that's true. Because everybody's kind of going around the answer that you gave, Roberta, and you don't even know.
No, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I've seen him ride.
I'm going to come down the stretch with 68.
And Emilio. You
know, I was chomping at the bit to say that.
Too. Chomping at the bit. Yeah. Emilio, what do you think?
I have no idea. 61.
61, you say? Okay. Jack.
Let me see. Well, I hope I'm not horsing around when I say 63.
63. Okay. You're all very kind. Actually, Eddie Arcaro's 78.
Wow. Yeah. Looks so young. He did win 6 Preakness and 6 Belmont.
Yeah, man. He's an old poop. Man, he hasn't raced for a while.
I haven't been to the races for years. And I was trying to figure out how old he would be when I was at the races and so forth. So I kind of did a little mathematics, but I figured he might be older.
Everyone she gets wrong, she's going to cop out. She's going to explain it. That's what we're going to hear.
Nobody asked me about chickens.
Nobody will ask you either, so just be quiet.
Well, we were the only children in the neighborhood that had peewee eggs to make mud pies with.
Huh? Peewee eggs? Was that an ingredient in the mud pie?
Do you ever get peewee eggs?
No, because I don't
little
have
peewee.
I don't have peewee hands.
No, but you get they don't have to be. They're like bad eggs. And they're too small.
Well, I have plenty of bad eggs in the neighborhood, sure.
No.
So my uncle in 1958 had the 7th largest chicken farm in the United States.
The 7th largest?
Mm-hmm.
The 7th largest.
I don't know, the 7th largest chicken or the 2nd largest farm?
Chicken farm.
Okay.
Did hatching eggs.
Who rates them?
Is there a top 10?
Company that lists the top 10 and number of chickens?
Or did I don't
someone
know.
Just come
a
around
Fortune 500
say,
of chickens.
This must be the 7th largest chicken farm.
I don't know, but he, yeah.
How would he know it was the 7th largest chicken farm?
Well, he had a foreman that claimed that he was cheating on his income tax, so the government shut him down in 1958, and it came over the news that he had the 7th largest chicken farm in the United States.
Oh, I see. The government kind of decided that while he was being led off to jail.
No, he didn't ever go to jail. He was found innocent.
He was found innocent of what? Of having the seventh largest chicken farm?
No, that he didn't cheat on his income taxes.
I see.
So I wonder if he was in jail, if he would have flew the coop.
If that bird sang while he's in jail.
Okay, the winner of this.
Wait a minute, what? Jack had a joke. What was that?
Just in response to, I said, "Oh, you dumb cluck."
I was trying to think of a cluck joke. And
okay, we didn't find out how old Eddie Arcaro is.
So, yes, we did, Roberta.
Yes, I already said he was 78.
Oh, that's right. We're on the next one.
Okay, I haven't told you who won yet. Are you going to keep talking through everything, Roberta?
Yeah. No.
Tony Nesbitt, actually, who said 68, mm-hmm. was the closest, even though he was 10 years off.
He was 10 lengths off. Yeah.
10 lengths off, that's right, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready.
Nobody asked you, Roberta. Nobody asked you if you're ready.
I go first.
Roberta. Anyway, Smokey Robinson, William Smokey Robinson, born in Detroit, Michigan, biggest hit, Tears of a Clown, with the Miracles. Of course, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles kind of go hand in hand. That was 1970 when he did Tears of a Clown, if that'll help you.
What was he?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Smokey Robinson has to be another...
Hold on just a minute. I'll ask you in a little while, Roberta. Then you can respond, okay? His biggest hit, Tears of a Clown, with the Miracles, 1970. Okay. He formed a group while attending Detroit's Northern High School. Here's another even better clue. He was at the high school in 1957. His biggest hit was in 1981, called Being With You. And I'm saying that like I know what I'm talking about. I don't know much about Smokey Robinson, but those are some pretty good dates to pin down. And we'll start with Jack Hart.
Oh, all right.
Is that okay with you, Roberta? Yeah. Thanks.
Well, this might be just my imagination, but I think it's about 51, excuse me.
51, excuse me. Okay, 51, and we'll put excuse me in parenthesis. Emilio, what do you think, Emilio? How old do you think Smokey Robinson of Smokey Robinson and the Miracles?
What year was he in high school there that they said?
He was in high school in
57?
57, no, that's right. He formed a group while he was at Northern High School, Detroit, 1957.
So I'm going to say he's 54.
54, okay. And what do you think, Tony?
Well, I'm praying I get this right. 53.
Well, you certainly whipped that into shape.
Yeah.
They still make Miracle Whip. I'm not...
Miracle. Yes, they do. Yeah.
If I had to explain that, it doesn't make any difference. Wow. What the heck. Lisa, how old do you think Smokey Robinson is on this very day, February 19th?
The double fives, 55.
Okay, what do you think, Mark?
I'd say it's 56, Norm.
56.
That's the... I'm sorry.
And Roberta?
I'm going to make him older than that. I'm going to say 71.
They're going to cast a spell on him or something.
Yeah, that's right.
He got kept back a few times.
He was in high school at
how
32
old?
Years
old. Yeah, but he didn't have to be in high school graduating. Going to school, he could have been in night school.
He just might have been in the building.
He could have been in the building.
He was the janitor.
Doing a gig.
Doing a gig, yeah.
He was picking up his son, and he formed a group there with some other parents.
Yeah, that's but the line that I said was, he formed a group while attending Detroit's Northern High School in 1957. I didn't say he formed a group while he was passing through the corridors. I didn't say he formed a group because he was in the cafeteria ordering some lemonade and orange juice.
But I still think
I
he's
said
older.
He was attending the school, is what I said.
I still think he's older from when I remember him.
Oh, you okay. Pleaded a good case, Norm, okay. But sorry, you lose.
Yeah, right. Wow.
I'm sticking with my answer.
Okay, we'll have the jury. We'll come back with their decision.
She's thinking of Bing Robinson.
Nope. Smokey Robinson.
Okay, actually, Smokey Robinson, on this very day, February 19th, today turns 54. Which is
yes.
That's what Emilio said. May you hit it right on the button.
I had him at 16.
No, you had him. You had him 53.
Well, I had him at 16 and 57.
Yeah. I had him going to high school.
You
at
were close. Yeah, you and Lisa and everybody was very close except Roberta.
We all figured he was in high school. We didn't figure he was.
But I remember him playing a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, he was. It says he was attending high school. He may have just been going through picking up scraps of paper.
Sure.
In order to bring them. You know,
Norm, I told you I'd make a fool of myself before we started.
She did warn us, didn't she?
Yeah, she you did. Yeah, you did warn us. Yeah, that's true.
I did tell you that.
So I guess
you did. You did. So, yeah. And you haven't let us down at all with that either. I'm so pleased. You're a woman of your word. Okay, Justin Bateman, who plays Mallory in Family Ties. Oh, I'm sorry, Justine. That's right. Justin is a
Justin's master. Her brother.
That's right.
Is she has a brother, Justin?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, her name is Justine.
Yeah, he came in the door a few minutes ago.
Oh. Well, just in time.
Justin.
Okay. She's from Rye, New York, born in Rye, New York, and Family Ties. Anyway, is she doing anything since Family Ties? It's on reruns
now. She put out a couple of really bad movies.
Yeah, really hokey movies.
She was
movies.
On
yeah.
her movie last week.
She's sort of an attractive lady, but with no great class. Not class, but... She's kind of a boring actress, don't you? Do you find that, or when if you're younger?
She's exciting, personally.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's closer to your age than mine. Maybe that's the reason. See, I find Roberta exciting.
Yeah.
Because she's an old broad, you know, and I go for that. Okay, Justine Bateman.
Who was once part of the seventh largest chicken farm in the United States.
That's probably what I find exciting about
it. I think it is.
Oh, boy.
I can't imagine the size of the egg
that
the seventh largest chicken farm.
He lives to be 92.
Uh-huh. Okay,
and,
Justine.
That was quite a while ago.
Yeah, that's quite a while ago. Okay.
Remember when Smokey Robinson was in high school?
Yes.
Back at the turn of the century.
Yeah, right. Okay, we'll start with you, Tony. Justine Bateman, how old do you think she is today? What was that? Was that a sign of stomach distress?
Yeah, a little bit.
I see.
A little gas.
A little gas there. That was really nice the way you did that.
You're
doing it again.
No.
Cimarosine might be in order.
I get everything that moves sick.
That's right. That's right. He's going through motion sickness, just spinning around in the revolving chair that we've set up for him.
Justine Bateman.
Justine Bateman.
When did that series end, Norm? Does it say?
No, it does not. The only thing I have is that. I don't really have no additional information.
She's 20.
I say she's 24.
Jack?
27.
Okay, and Lisa?
I got to go with Jack, 27.
You like going with Jack. You'll have to pick up the tab at the end of the evening because he's a cheap person, but other than that, he's a brilliant conversationalist. Of course, if you like conversations only about traffic.
There was a backup in 1989 that was so long.
see what I mean?
Oh, man.
And those rafts, you know, they get icy, during storms. The rafts.
That was the bridges.
Wow.
But, how you really get the woman, he's whispering, tertiary roads, tertiary roads.
Oh, that'll get him every time.
Slathering. I'd like to say
slathering. That's right.
Boy.
And I've...
I'm getting a little sweaty myself.
Wow.
We all
myself.
Talk like Barry White.
Slathering,
baby.
And they sanded the main roads, you know what I'm saying, sweetheart?
And then he'll get real close and say, slick spots.
Oh, yeah. You remind me of Route 3, your slick spots, sweetheart. Roberta, how old do you think Justine Bateman?
Oh, God.
I'm going to do it again, 28.
28. Okay, you're going to say the same as what Emilio said.
He's trying to steal my video.
No, he said 27.
No, he said 28.
Oh, I forgot. All right.
Yeah. And you're both right. No, you're both right because she is 28. Yes, you're both right.
Yes.
Roberta and Emilio. That means Emilio has two correct answers, and Roberta and Tony have one apiece. Boy, this is really... This is
a barn burner, isn't it?
This is a barn burner. This is a seat squirmer. This one is. This is a seat squirmer.
This is a slick spotter.
Oh, a slick spot. Really, it's a slick spot. Oh, yeah. Ooh. Okay, Prince Andrew. Prince Andrew.
Is he the one with Coo Stark?
Let's see.
Is that the one with...
He's the tiny one, isn't he?
He's the...
It says he's kind of married to Fergie.
Oh,
they're
God.
Having some
problems.
Yeah,
some that is the one.
Too.
That's not the
Fergie,
one.
After Prince Charles' children, he is next in line to the British throne.
So it must be a long wait at that bathroom, huh?
It'll be a long wait. Yes, that's right. The British throne. Yeah. Seated on the throne right now is the Queen Elizabeth II. She's still wearing her crown while seated on the throne.
Okay. Seated on the throne.
Let's have a little respect for royalty, eh?
Okay.
That's enough.
What's she reading on the throne?
She's reading
Boy's about, Life.
Yeah. She's a baseball fan. She goes for the Kansas City Royals. Okay, let's start with you, Mark. How old do you think Prince Andrew?
I think he's 33. 33.
Okay. Roberta, what do you think?
28.
Roberta thinks 28, the same as Justine Bateman.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Jack?
33.
It's like you know that, Jack.
Well, not necessarily, but it's possible.
Okay.
Okay, Lisa.
32.
Lisa says 32. Okay. And Emilio?
I'm going to go with 32 also.
32 also. And Tony?
I'm going to go with 34 also.
34 also. Okay. That means you win.
Yeah.
Because he's 34 years old today. You all were very, very close, except Roberta, of course. We've come to expect that.
The only thing, I think the Queen is the only lady in the group. The rest of them are giving her gray hair.
She's the only one of the group amongst Prince Charles, Prince Andrew, and herself? Yeah, I guess she is the only lady.
The whole royal family are all getting themselves into...
Did anyone ask you to editorialize?
Trouble.
Yeah.
But I like the Queen.
I like the Queen, too. She's a lovely lady. Why don't you get to know her? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know her.
And one thing that's very, very nice, she always hands down her old clothes and crowns to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. At this very moment, I'm wearing one of her discarded coronets on my head. You see that?
Looks very nice. Yeah.
I'm glad you haven't laughed at her gown because I'm wearing one of her dresses also.
It matches your brooch, Norm.
Well, it's because they both have lots of sequins. I really love that.
You do.
Okay, Jeff Daniels, you know the actor who's an awfully good actor.
Arachnophobia.
He was also in the Woody Allen movie. What was that one? He stepped off the screen. Remember?
Huh?
That Jeff Woody Daniels. Allen. Is that Jeff Daniels? Do you remember the movie?
He was in Gettysburg too, wasn't he?
Jeff, the blonde-haired guy. No, Jeff Daniels. What was the movie? Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. Woody Allen had a movie where. He was at the movie theater and the actors came off the screen and Jeff Daniels still felt anything he could do was like...
Play It Against Sam?
Pardon me? Not Play It Against Sam, no. Was that Jeff Daniels? Do any of you know?
Well, some of you speak up for God's sake. Help me.
I'm trying to figure out who he is.
It's not in his...
He has to be fairly young because I don't know who he is.
So the only names I have that he's been in is Terms of Endearment... And Ragtime. That's not who I'm thinking of. Because I didn't see either one of those movies.
But the Jeff Daniels I'm thinking of is the one in Arachnophobia, right, Jack? Did you remember?
I didn't.
Tell me all of this.
Wow.
Was he in North and... Not North and South. Gettysburg. He was in Gettysburg. He was the one who was praised up and down against, right?
Relatively young man.
Blonde guy.
I shouldn't tell you that, but... Because
I can't believe those are the only two movies they list for him. I don't even remember him.
Yeah.
Roberta, I'd like to give you a clue. He went to high school with Smokey Robinson.
He's 111.
I like to wait until everybody else finishes because I don't have time for movies.
You don't have time for movies?
No.
What do you? What is it you do that takes your time?
Oh, I work and go to school and...
Really? Where do you work? What kind of work do you do?
Well, right now, I'm a dislocated worker, so...
You're not working right now.
I'm not working now.
Okay,
I'm going to school.
You might have been in a cast.
What school do you go to?
I'm going to a training school, Jewish vocational training.
Yeah, what are you training to be?
A customer service representative.
I see. Well, then, as long as you're not doing the other stuff, like working, then you could go to the movies. Because you don't make any money, so you can't pay to go to the movies.
No, that's what I mean. After Bob Russo, who has any money left? Uh-oh.
after Bob Russo. Who's Bob Russo? And I shouldn't.
I don't know.
Apparently, she doesn't want to tell you.
Let's forget that.
Pacific County Sheriff.
Oh, Bob Rufo. You mean R-U-F-O?
Yes.
Did you work? Were you a deputy sheriff or something?
Yeah.
At least you get in trouble with the law.
Yeah, because I'm a deputy sheriff in Middlesex County. Want me to go out to my car and get my badge?
Oh, nothing like you flashing that badge in a sequin dress.
Yeah.
Pull over to the room.
They don't take it too seriously that way. That's the truth. Especially wearing a crown, Queen Elizabeth's crown.
Norm has this badge in his glove compartment that he can, so when he goes to fumble for his registration, it can fall and go, oh, officer, I'm sorry, here's my badge.
My breath in my mouth.
One of my kids always says, my dad, I think, is drunk because he's going out to the car to get his badge. Every time he does that to show off his badge, he's drunk. That's not true at all, because we law enforcement officers don't get drunk.
I have broken mouth disease.
Oh, be quiet, Roberta. Nobody asks you. Nobody cares. Lisa, how old do you think Jeff... Do you know who Jeff Daniels is?
No, I'm not sure who he is.
He's an awfully good actor, if it's the same one I'm thinking of. I'm sure it is. And it's kind of funny. He was also in a Melanie Griffith movie, some movie that I saw on television that I don't remember ever being in a theater. But he's been in a number of movies. He's quite a good actor. A comparatively young man. Anyway, I gave that away. But take a guess then.
I want to take a stab at 42.
42. Okay. Isn't it nice that somebody as young as you thinks 42 is young? How old are you?
25.
Okay. Because normally, if I said a relatively young, well, never mind. Anyway,
that's
Roberta.
More of a hint, Tony. It's more of a clue. I think we should work on that.
Yeah.
How old do you think he is?
I'm going to say 38.
You're going to say 38. Okay. And Jack, what do you think?
Oh, 41 if he's a day.
41 if he's, I put if he's a day in parenthesis. Okay. And let's see. Mark?
Yeah.
Hello.
43.
Okay. And Emilio?
I'm thinking by your hints, Norm, that he is relatively young. I'm going to say 34.
34. Okay. See, relatively young is a relative kind of term, too.
Sure. And what you would think relatively old.
Yeah, somebody from my saying relatively young would be different than you saying relatively young. Alive, oh.
Relatively speaking, of course.
Relatively speaking, of course. Lisa, no, you already guessed. Tony.
Oh, he's got to be 40 if he's a week.
40.
If he's weak?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And? Jeff Daniels actually is 39.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Well, that's okay. You can look, you said 40, and
Roberta
said 38.
Wow.
So you both win then. Roberta's now tied.
I won one on somebody I can't even place.
Yeah, you are tied with Tony and Emilio. You both have two apiece,
all three
of you.
I have three.
Oh, sorry, you have three. That's right. Now, Tony's leading.
He's always trying to shave points off, man.
Okay, I want to give you a couple of birthdays.
Tell him to go to one news break. He gets all upset. Shaves your points.
I take pride in my work. My work is my everything, my life. My life is here at WBC. I have no life outside of this radio station. God bless them, and may God keep them in his good warmth, or in her good warmth, while I work here, because
and
I love this.
And in the words
this.
Of your Hungarian gypsy princess,
show me a man who is in love with his work, and is a conscientious worker, and cares about what he does, and tries to give the boss an honest day's pay, for an honest day's work, and I will show you
a badge.
You got a badge.
I will shut up, will you? I'm right in the middle of a shtick here, and I will show you some summer squash. That wasn't too good.
You must have fun in your home with all the animals in the garden. And
he's drunk all the time.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know, man. I lie down there on the. In the paddock and have the horse walk all over me. That's the way I get my kicks. I can hardly wait to get invited to the Geraldo Rivera show.
You got the horse walking on you in the paddock. You get two fingers inside of a chicken.
Unless it has pea eggs.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. The point is, nobody can see what I'm doing back there in the woods.
That's right.
You go to some chintzy nightclub, everybody right away starts to, the tongues wag.
Did you ever take a tramp in the woods?
Hey, you're doing shtick, aren't you, Roberta? Now, would you like to take a walk with me one day? I'm gonna tell you one more.
In the recorder.
Here's an event that happened on this day, February 19th. And you tell me what year it happened. Then I'll give you a couple of birthdays for another time here, because we're having so much fun. We may never end this game. I've just called Bill Lawrence, and he's willing to start the 5 o'clock news at 7 o'clock this morning, so we may continue this game.
Suspend all news.
Okay, the Edison phonograph. Thomas Edison was granted a patent for the cylinder phonograph, which he called, and this is a clever title, the speaking machine.
I understand he leaned into it and said, "Hello, operator."
Okay. Right. He didn't know. He didn't even know what he had, actually.
No. Yeah. He thought he invented the phone.
He never thought it would have much to do with music.
Actually, he turned it on in the room, and he says, "I can't see a damn thing. What's wrong with this light bulb?"
Yeah. I don't even get a test pattern on this thing, he said. The first words ever recorded in the history of man.
Yeah, but where do you put the luggage?
Okay, you know what the first words ever recorded in the history
Mary
of man?
Had a Mary little
hand on it. That's correct. That's very good.
Okay. He also had a bear.
Was it a bear or a bear?
A bear.
A bear,
I've often seen her little lamb, but I've never seen her bear.
I see.
Yeah, wonderful. Roberta, you're bringing back days of yore.
My father used to tell us, those, I could go on with those and we'll never get the game over.
Yeah, well, we will, because I can always clip you off the air.
He was saying those to her as they were dragging him off to jail.
Okay, what was the year, though? What was the year that he was granted that patent for the cylinder? A phonograph.
So the patent, not when he invented it necessarily. But
No. He's granted the patent for that. That's correct.
But then again, back then, there weren't too many patents being granted. So probably the minute he invented it, they said, "Hey, here you go.
Hey, slap
patent
number
001. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Lisa.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
You want to go to the next Damasco reunion with me?
Not really.
Oh.
I'd like to go with Tony.
Oh.
Whoa.
Sorry, Norm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Better luck next time.
Lisa, what year? You wench, you wench, you wicked wench, you saucy miss. What year was the Edison phonograph patented? What year did you get the patent for that?
Well, let's see, Norm. That was back in your time. So.
Oh, she's not going to stop this. She's going to really rub it in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding, yeah.
No, you're not kidding. That's what really hurts.
I'm just busting you. 17.
You just try to move to Middleton, man. I'll zone you out of town, fella.
I don't know. I think I should have paid attention in history class. 1778.
1778.
Wow, that's
a long time. Yeah, I'm sorry. What year did you say? 1778?
Yeah.
1778. That's.
I figured he would have maybe. But he would have spoken the words like, I don't know, glory, glory, hallelujah.
No, he could have.
Maybe
could
have. Yeah,
that's right. The first words.
Yeah,
it was "Mary had a little lamb" was spoken by George Washington. Yeah, that was very nice. Yeah. Benjamin Franklin was one of those who auditioned but didn't quite make it.
Of course, now Roberta will say 1654.
Well, let's ask her. Let's ask her and find out.
Paul Revere did make a few records with him.
Huh? Pardon me?
Paul Revere did have a little group back then, the
Raiders.
That's
right.
Hey, I admit it, I didn't pay attention in history class.
And it shows.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
They didn't teach me that in history class.
Okay, Roberta, what year was that? The Edison got the patent for the phonograph.
I'll say about
1928. A little disparity there, isn't it, between the two dates, 1928 and 1778.
So in 1928, they must have given the patent posthumously.
1099, I think, is probably just a... Anyway, yeah. What do you... Emilio, what year do you say?
I'm going to come in with 1891.
1891, your diction is excellent.
That sounds good to me. Can I change this?
What's that, please?
That sounds good to me. Can I change this?
No. She can't take the victory.
No, she can't, because you already said it.
So. I know, I was.
Yeah, you're just joshing, aren't you?
That's right.
Okay. Mark, what do you say?
I would say 1895.
1895. Okay, and Jack?
1611 B.C.
You took my answer. I was going to say 14 B.C.
You do dialect very nicely the way you do that. What year do you actually think?
1892.
And, Tony, what year would you say?
1888.
The actual year was 1878.
Wow.
Let's see. I think you're the closest, I believe. Yes, 1888 is the closest. The next closest was 1891 that Emilio said, and Jack said 1892. The farthest away, the one who wasn't even close.
Oh, no.
Who was so far out that it was embarrassing. Well, actually, you weren't too good either. I was thinking of Lisa, who actually was even farther off than you were.
I had the year. I just didn't have the decade.
That's right. You said 1778. That's
That'd
right.
Be the century. Yeah. She was 100 years off.
100 years off. That's correct.
Well, see, they had the record back then. They just didn't have the player.
Yeah. That's right.
They couldn't do anything with it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It was the same year they invented the telephone booth.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't invent the telephone for a while after that, too, so they didn't know what to do with that either. Yeah.
There's all these empty booths on the corner. Yet people would go in and...
But the phonograph was kind of interesting because...
Why was it interesting, Norm?
Now I'm gonna bet.
I can't remember now. Okay,
I'm gonna bet. No, I'm not.
You're not gonna butt in. Just hold back just a little bit, okay? Roberta, because we want to get through this, and we're getting the time is starting to creep up on us.
Okay.
Okay, you're
it's
good.
It's lurking, person. Norm. Time is lurking.
Time is lurking. That's right, in the bushes. Time daily. That we're going for a couple of birthdays on Monday, the 21st. Okay. Is this getting to be boring?
No.
Okay.
It was just time for a heavy sigh. That's all.
That's right. It's right there, right here.
It's like the seventh inning stretch during the birthday game, but this time it's time for a heavy sigh.
3:48. I took that as a contemplation sigh, Tony.
Yes, I am very contemplative. Contemplative. Well, something like
contemplative.
That.
Okay, Time Daily received numerous awards for her role in TV's Cagney and Lacey. Is Mary Beth Lacy, and she was on Broadway in Gypsy. She was excellent.
Where
I saw
was she?
That on Broadway.
Thank you.
She was on Broadway, yes, sir. In Gypsy, everything's coming up Broadway, yes, sir. Oh, that really hurts my throat. But she was excellent. I did see her on that Time Daily.
Who did? Yeah. Is that Norm? Is that the one that was with Clint Eastwood? Or is that the other one? Because I'm trying to think of Cagney and Lacey.
Yes,
she was the one in, was it The Enforcer?
Yeah, something like that.
She was
the
heavy
motherly one.
Oh, well, in a Clint Eastwood movie?
Yeah, she's the dark-haired one, in other words, on Cat.
Yeah, she's the dark-haired one. The blonde-haired one.
She was in an Eastwood movie.
Yeah, is, what's
Gless.
Her
name? Sharon Gless.
Sharon Gless, who I really adore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to make love to her before I die. Would that be okay, Mom? Be okay if I make love to her, to Sharon Gless? I always figured that her name was Glass. But her folks had an accent. Well, her name is Gless. Oh,
yes,
Gless.
So Sharon
like
Glass,
what you drink water. You drink water out of the glass. Oh, God, that was awful. My own people are going to turn on me for that one. Okay, Time Daily. We're going to start with you, Tony.
Oh,
how
boy.
Old is Time Daily? How old would she be Monday?
Oh, all right. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, see, you try to trick me then.
It was a trick question. She's from Madison, Wisconsin. She's born in Madison, Wisconsin.
So we're adding this birthday in on Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Monday, yes.
So what do you say? During the series, which was ended what, in the early to mid-80s?
Somewhere around that.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So she had to be probably about that age. That's the early to mid-80s. Now we're into the early to mid-90s. Had 10.
See how to listen to this and hear how your mind works. It's so breathtaking.
It was probably...
listen to those gears whir.
Oh, isn't that exciting, Jack? Boy, this is something.
Jack, no mumbling tonight.
53.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm sorry, she's 63.
53.
Jeez.
Oh. He didn't bring the manual, Jack.
No, he left the mumbling code at home.
Yes.
Okay. Jack, what do you think? How old do you say?
Fortunately, I brought the book. She was.
There's 26. Take away 19. Them tablet. Pi is 3.1. 1.41. 3.9.
The circumference.
54.
54. Ding. Okay. All right, Emilio, what do you say?
I was originally going to go with 49, but Jack brought me into the 50s, so I'm going to say 51.
Oh, he brought me into the 50s. Jack Hart, that's the title of a book, isn't it? Jack Hart brought me into the 50s. By Emilio Murata and his orchestra. Okay, Lisa, what do you say?
52.
52.
Oh, now 51, 52, 53, and 54.
Yeah.
Roberta, 78.
Well, we'll go to Mark next. What do you think, Mark?
47.
And Roberta?
I'm going to figure it out with pi r square and say...
No, pi r round, by the way.
48. Actually, you're closer than most, but not close enough because Mark was right on the button. She's 47.
Jack, thanks a lot.
All right.
47 years old.
And the sequel to Emilio's book,
but
Jack...
I had decided 48 before he said it.
Yeah, you bet. You betcha. Okay, this will be the last one. Let me give you a run through on the score so far.
Please.
Tony, you're saying that because you know you're leading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tony has 4 correct answers. Actually, there's no way anybody get caught up because nobody's got 3. Emilio has 2, and Roberta has 2, and Mark has 1. And Lisa?
0. Zip. Nada.
I'll still go to the reunion with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Do you like gardenia corsages that are a little bit old and kind of wilted at the end?
Thanks.
He wasn't describing the corsage, by the way.
No. You wear those in your hair.
I wear those on your hair. That's very good, Roberta. Okay.
I'll pass.
Monday, the 21st of February, is also the birthday. And, of course, it's the day before Tony Nesbitt's birthday.
Is it really?
Which is the 22nd, yeah. Mm.
But do we need to guess Tony's birthday?
You want to guess his age? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. We can do that tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do that tomorrow. That's right. It'll be a little closer.
I have a niece whose birthday is on the 22nd, now that I think of it.
Yeah. Really?
A little connection here.
Jack will be running out getting a card. He's kind of, geez, I think I have a niece. Hmm.
Irma Bombeck was born on the 21st.
Oh,
huh. Yeah, how old is Irma Bomb? Let's see if I can give you some clues. I really can't. She is...
Grass is always greener.
Former housewife.
Yeah, columnist, humorist, author.
Survivor.
Born in Dayton, Ohio. Motherhood. She wrote a number of books. Motherhood, the second oldest profession. I remember that one. That's one of her books. And then after this, we'll check and see who's born the 22nd on your birthday.
Ted Kennedy, George Washington.
Let's see. Drew Barrymore.
Oh, yeah.
Ted Kennedy, right? Robert Young. He's the guy who chuckles a lot over his family. Oh, he used to chuckle. Remember, he used to laugh a lot.
Oh, too much caffeine?
Well, sorry. You like that, do you? Kids? Sheldon Leonard. You know Sheldon Leonard?
Oh, sure.
Oh, he just... Sure. Didn't he die recently? Oh, two pigs...
Yeah.
Do that again? That's
soup.
Very good.
We say hot soup for men who want to eat fast. Now, do you want a bowler, don't you?
That's Sheldon Leonard. That's the guy. Okay. And also Dr. J, Julius Erving, was born on February 22nd. Sparky Anderson, the Major League manager. The singer Oliver. Whatever happened to him? He sang Gene from the prime of his Gene Brody. Boy, that was 1969.
Wow.
Oliver. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He came from a very poor family. They could only give him one name. Don Pardo. Don Pardo was born.
Really?
Is that right?
Hi, Don Pardo, our contestants will receive. He's always the off-voice announcer.
He's the guy Saturday Night Live,
that's
too.
Right, off-screen announcer. That's right.
That's right.
And Charlie Finley.
Nice.
Who owned the Oakland A's.
Okay. Okay. We're talking about Maude's husband. I don't know if it was Walter.
What's his name?
Walter Finley.
Walter Finley. Oh. And,
gee, this isn't too bad.
John Mills, the actor, won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor in 1970 in Ryan's Daughter. He's the father of Haley Mills and Juliet Mills. He was born on February 26th.
Is he one of the Mills brothers?
Yeah. He's one of them. No, he's one of the...
All great people were born in February.
A lot of people think that, but actually he's one of the Andrews sisters.
Can you borrow your dress?
Yeah. What do you think? I got it.
I was born in February, too.
What day in February were you born?
29th. She's going to make it up?
I'll let you guess.
No, the date you were born. I'm not talking about you. What was the date you were born? What's your birth date?
February 13th.
February 13th.
You know, I know. Okay. I've got a friend of mine who's so cheap, he married a woman who was born on February 29th, so he wouldn't have to buy her a present every year.
Okay, let's move along now. As quickly as we can. Irma Bombeck, anyway.
Very quickly.
Guess. Okay, Roberta, what do you think?
I think we should leap ahead. What did you ask me?
Leap.
How old will Irma Bombeck be on Monday?
She's so funny.
Will you tell me how old you think she's going to be?
Very old, because laughter is the best medicine. It will keep you young.
Oh, so be quiet with that.
I'll say she's about 54.
You're not going to give us any more of your drugstore philosophy, again, are you? Okay, Mark, what do you think?
73.
54 to 73.
Wow.
Okay, and Lisa. She's 8 years old? What did she say?
I said 68.
Oh, 68.
I only heard 8, too.
Yeah.
No, she started.
Must be thinking
young.
Of a different Irma Bombeck.
No. My grandmother likes this, so she's got to be pretty old.
That's Thomas Edison's great, 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 great granddaughter.
I believe Irma dated Smokey Robinson at one time.
He was much older than her.
I didn't get his name Smokey.
No, actually, she smoked Robinson cigarettes. But a lot of people get that mixed up. I'm sorry that I didn't shut up about it. Tony, how old do you think Irma Bombeck will be?
She will be... 72.
Okay, and Emilio?
I'm going to go a little bit younger. Geez, I didn't think she looked that bad. I'm going to say 64.
See, I was going to say 63, but suddenly
he suddenly came out 72.
72, yeah.
It's amazing.
He didn't know what he was saying.
And what do you think, Jack?
63. Thanks, Jack.
Okay, actually, Irma Bombeck will be 67.
Yes.
Mercy.
And so that means that Lisa...
Oh, hype is up by 1 year.
Lisa said 68, yeah.
Hey.
Very good, Lisa.
I had to break the shutout on myself there.
Yeah, you did.
Jack on the board?
No, I think Jack actually got...
Wow, what a surprise.
Jack
first time in weeks. Skunked.
Wow. Totally. How do you explain the fact that you didn't guess anything correctly, Jack?
I'm in a birthday slump.
I'm in a birthday slump.
There's no slathering on the roads. Jack's a little down.
Okay, so the winner is Tony with four correct answers.
Thank you very much.
And two for Roberta and two for Emilio.
You keep shortchanging Emilio, I think.
No, he's got just two correct answers.
Thank you for your concern, though, Roberta.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
That's very nice. Mark and Lisa both have one apiece, and, of course, Jack has just bombed out terribly in an embarrassing way.
Oh, I don't know how I'll ever wake up in the morning.
Probably yawning.
Okay, so I want to thank all of you for playing the dumb birthday game with us. Thank you very much, Roberta.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
Hey, thank you, Norm.
You were fun, and so were you, Lisa. You're okay.
Thanks, Norm. It was fun.
Take care now. And Jack?
Yes?
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. And thank you both, anyway. Tony and Emilio, you're both wonderful folks.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Norm.
Okay. No, it's okay. It's my pleasure.
Time for the news.
Time for the news. Where's the guy? There he is.
What are you doing here?
I'm doing okay.
I like the guy you're talking about. I like Dizzy Gillespie, too. I feel sadness, you know, your poor wife died. Norma?
Yes.
Yes.
Norma, yes,
right. Life must go on.
Yes, it must.
Yes. Okay, it's a good show you have here.
Well, thank you very much, Barbara. No,
and I like Dave Maynard a lot.
Yes, I do, too.
He's always going on vacation, right?
Well, he's yeah, that's true. He goes on trips a lot. He
travels.
It makes
me jealous.
Have you done much traveling in your life?
I travel out the door. But can I make a comment concerning something? That poor lady that called, Kathy.
Yes.
The woman was so terribly depressed.
She was so uptight. Yes, she was. You can just hear the nerve ends coming out of her fingertips.
Oh, that's awful, isn't it?
That's not a comfortable way to live, no.
No. She's, and I'll make another comment concerning, I listened to Bob Rawley, you know?
Yeah.
And he's going, these people have to get off the welfare.
Yeah.
Which is exactly correct.
Yeah.
I have five cats here.
Pardon me?
I have five cats.
Five cats?
Yeah.
Are they all on welfare?
No.
Okay.
That's the thing that killed it. No, I have to buy their food and everything else, you know?
Yeah.
But I wanted to speak to you and say hello. But it is awful.
What is awful? I'm sorry, I lost track of what you're saying. What's awful, the five cats, welfare, or you, or what?
Oh, I'm a little spent, yeah. But I feel sorry for that lady that called up with the three kids.
Yeah.
I got one son, he's 17 and a half years old. He does his best. I take care of him. But I got the five cats.
Yeah. Why do you have five cats?
Because I like them. I had them for 13 years.
All the same five?
Yeah. And I had them altered and whatever, you know?
Are they all alive still? You have five cats right now?
Yeah.
I see. And the same five cats you've had for 13 years?
Yeah. And they're sitting there looking at me saying, what the heck is mother doing?
You know, because I'm wondering the same thing.
Do you have any pets?
I have a few, yes.
Well, wonderful. Well, I feel sorry for the lady. I feel sorry for everything, you know? But that's the way it was.
Okay, I got to get going now, Barbara, but thank you very much for just pouring out your guts to us. That was really nice. And if you have motion sickness, I got a cure for that, too.
If you suffer from motion sickness...
...with you through the night. A lot of interesting people will be with us tonight, Saturday night, beginning at 11 o'clock. Most of all, it'll be fun to hear from you. And we'll take some more calls after the news at 254-1030. Oh, yeah. And we'll take some calls, including Eleanor in Quincy. Hello, Eleanor.
His name is Naaman. We love him so. For in the spring to the bog you'll go, right?
That's exactly right.
To record the peepers.
Well, we'll do that. Yeah, that won't be for another month, but we'll, or 5 weeks, something like that. Yeah.
Oh, Norman, I've had enough of this winter.
Well, this is going to be a good weekend. This is a good weekend to
Isn't
go outdoors.
Isn't it wonderful?
It's wonderful. Eleanor, it's wonderful. It's just so darn wonderful.
There's just so many puddles to dodge out there.
Oh, you're going to complain about the puddles. Then you'll complain about the April showers. Then you'll complain about the heat. You're going to complain the whole year round, aren't you, Eleanor?
Well, I'm really complaining. I miss you on Sundays.
Well, thank you very much. I don't see any reason why you don't enjoy programs about baldness
and
all
arthritis.
That swell, arthritis, all that swell stuff.
Well,
holistic
I'm sure,
medicine.
You know, I'm sure we need all these things. You know, we need all these medicinal things. But I don't know what they're doing to us because I don't know how many people are really listening to that kind of program.
Six. I took a survey. There's six people listening.
Well, I miss you, Norm.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very, very much. I want you to know that while those programs are on, you don't need to miss me or feel sorry for me because I'm out with beautiful women under each arm, and I'm drinking heavily and having a swell time.
Well, then I guess I won't feel so sorry
for
you.
No, don't feel sorry for me at all, no.
Norm, did you get back to your music lessons like you were talking about one time?
I'm sort of in the middle. I should get back to them, and I haven't yet. And I feel badly because I've done my teacher dirty.
Oh.
But that's a whole other thing.
You started lessons?
Oh, yeah. Right. I started some time ago, piano lessons, yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, you didn't know that. Oh,
no,
yeah, that's
I didn't.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm ready for some kind of a debut on some large stage soon, playing the piano. Probably, I'll be ready probably at least by the year 2000.
But you seriously are taking piano lessons?
Yes, I am. I am sort of, semi-seriously, yes.
No, I mean, you know, the movie The Piano is playing at our local Wollaston Theater, and I was wondering, is that a good movie?
It's gotten some excellent reviews. I have not seen it, so I can't give you a first-hand account. Last movie I saw was... what was that? About the IRA and the man who was imprisoned... illegally, unjustly, and then found innocent by the... anyway, it's called Fathers in the title.
In
The Name of the Father. I found that to be a brilliant movie.
Oh.
I saw Schindler's List was the one before that. Neither one of these are the kind of movies you go out whistling and singing and dancing happily to.
Yeah.
But they're both brilliant movies.
Mm.
And those are the last two. I haven't seen much since then. I've got to get back to the movies.
Well, the last movie I saw was The Remains of the Day.
That's gotten good comment. What did you think?
I liked it very much. I would have liked a happy ending, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't have a very happy ending. I guess being a butler was this man's whole life.
Oh, this is Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, of course, he was the perfect butler.
Yeah.
But he didn't seem to have much room in his life for romance, you know.
Yeah, he was kind of stodgy.
You didn't see that movie?
No, I have not. I would like to, because I love Anthony Hopkins.
Well, I'm going to try and see The Piano anyway.
Yeah.
Try to see that.
There are some pretty good movies showing these days.
Yeah, if you wait long enough, good ones do turn up. I guess Schindler's List is one of those movies that everybody's supposed to go see, but it doesn't sound too cheerful.
No, it doesn't. It's not cheerful at all. A lot of people... I'm not going to see it, I think, because of that. But I think Spielberg, who produced the movie and stuff, I think will get some great awards for it. But it's not a movie that makes you happy, no. But it's brilliantly done. It runs over 3 hours, and I found the hours went by very, very quickly. Matter of fact, both that and Fate and In the Name of the Father, when the credits roll, normally people jump up and they, you know, start walking out of the theater while the credits are still rolling, the end of the movie. But in both these movies, I found that people were so touched by the movies, they just sat there and stared at the screen, right, almost till the very, very end of the credits and all, which is very unusual.
Well, I'll have to try to see it then.
Yeah, I think...
And In the Name of the Father, too, you recommend?
I would recommend both of them. I think they're both brilliant movies, yes.
No, you know, earlier at the very beginning of your show, I did have the answer to one of the questions there about what did Raggedy Ann and what was the other one? Raggedy Ann and 60 Minutes, and there was something else having come. Oh, South America. And they were all Andes.
Yeah, Andy Rooney and Raggedy Andy.
Well, I had that answer, but I didn't. Somebody got there before me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I could have won a delightful game, too, right?
You could have, yes.
What was it called, the tripod?
Tri-bond.
Oh.
Kind of like a gold bond, only tri-bond, and no connection at all to that, yeah. You had to piece together three things and tell what they had in common. So,
you know,
tri-bond.
I don't know what made me think of this, but, you had mentioned John Mills and Haley Mills, and what's her name, Julia Mills?
Juliet Mills, yes.
Did you happen to see on PBS that one that Haley Mills was in, the flame Trees of Fika or something like that?
I heard about it, but
it was
delightful.
Not see
it. Really, yeah.
It was really delightful, and, you know, it's the grown-up Haley Mills, and I haven't seen her. I loved her as a child actress, a young woman actress. But she was delightful in that as a, you know, grown-up lady. So, Norm, I haven't much news. I'm waiting to hear you record the peepers.
Well, I'll do them as soon as they start to scream out.
Well, good for you.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed the show tonight. And the dumb birthday game is as entertaining as ever.
Okay.
But that Jack Hart is very witty, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He is. What do you think of Tony Nesbitt? Do you think he's a boring person?
Well, I think he has a delightful personality.
But what do you find lacking?
Well,
I'm sorry. He's right there in the control room, and I was trying to give him the needle.
Poor Tony. Lacking in nothing, really.
Way to go, Eleanor. That's exactly what I would say.
I hope you have a nice weekend. You're going to have a good show this tonight, too.
Tonight, we should have some interesting people on, yes. I will do the best I can, anyway.
Well, we expected nothing less.
Okay. That's right. Force me up against the wall. Make me do well.
Do take care. Do well.
Okay.
Do well and be well.
You too, Eleanor. Go out and enjoy today, because it's going to be beautiful.
Well, I was out today. I had enough dodging
puddles. No, but I mean today. I mean Saturday. It's going to be this coming day. It's going to be beautiful.
Okay. Thanks, Norm.
Okay, Eleanor. Take care of yourself. Matt is in his car. My goodness. Where are you, Matt?
Matt, hey, Norman, what's up?
Not too much.
Where am I? I'm just coming up on the New Hampshire border.
Okay.
Northbound.
Northbound toward New Hampshire.
Northbound to Vermont.
Oh, northbound heading toward Vermont.
There you go.
Where in Vermont are you going?
Killington.
Oh, you're going skiing, son of a gun.
Got it.
That's beautiful. I've only been skiing once in my life, and it was at Killington.
Well, at least you survived.
Yeah, I did. I did. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Other people have been less fortunate.
You mean there are a lot of people go skiing at Killington and don't come back home again ever? Well, that's so ominous. My goodness.
It's a one-way trip.
Yeah. Are you a pretty good skier?
I do okay for an old guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're a really old guy, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad about that.
So, Norm, I thought you would like to keep the show nice and light, and fluffy. Here.
I do. It's a kind of like a little fuzzy kitten. The whole program is like that. I appreciate that. Now, what time did you leave home to get up to Killington? You sound like you've been traveling all night.
No. I just got out of bed.
Oh, okay. And you're going to stay there for the entire weekend?
Yeah, I'll be there till Monday.
Oh, that's nice. That's pretty country up there.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, good luck. Yeah, I hope you ski. I'm sure you'll ski fine or something. Or maybe you won't ski fine. I don't know.
Probably run right into a tree, right?
No, you won't do that. Don't hurt yourself. I got to get going, Matt. But good luck to you. I hope it's a great weekend for you.
All righty.
Take care now.
What more is there to say? If I don't come across another year where we did the contest again, I may just repost this one every spring. Now I wonder if there's a tape when we reveal the winner. One can only hope. And is that prize still under glass, hermetically sealed, illuminated by a single light, somewhere in someone's curio cabinet or freezer? We may never know. But we can dream. And before we begin that dream, let's close the vault and ride those radio waves home. Thank you all just so darn much for listening, then and now. For Jack Hart, all the spring peepers everywhere, Norm's hens, the first egg of spring, and the lurking bog rooster himself, Norm Nathan, I'm Tony Nesbitt.